in, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metal broker, dealer, and depository service. We are always actively involved in purchasing and selling all forms of rare coins and precious metals. We've been doing it a long time, and we enjoy what we do. We like it. We want to help you out. Either way, we're fair, very fair as far as this industry goes. And I say that only because the margins we run are just tremendously thin. And when you're in business and you're putting out your own capital, it's hard for people to comprehend. You know, you buy and sell an ounce of gold and make $35 or something on 1700 or whatever is an example. And I've actually heard people complain that, you know, that's too much. And you got to think about the risks. I mean, of short term, we're not in it long term. People often will make comments like, well, do you remember me? I sold you 10 ounces of gold 3 years ago. And the 2 days after I sold it, it went up. You made a ton of money on that gold or something. Or vice versa, they'll say, well, I bought gold from you 3 years ago. I bet you were happy it went down after I bought. It's like, we don't think that way. We are moving very, very high volume, and we're in it to win it over the long haul. We're very long-term minded, but, you know, we have to operate on the short term. The client, that's you, they determine when we buy and when we sell. And so we have to have a tremendous amount of money tied up in hard assets at all times. Now, why does that work? What other business could get away with this? Not even the car business, right? Because every car on that lot hypothetically depreciates. The reason that this industry can operate on, hypothetically, I use that word because there's people that make big margins, but the hypothetical opportunity and ability to operate on low margins is because it's true wealth and because it's immediately liquid. I mean, real estate is true wealth, but it's not immediately liquid. Rare coins are liquid, okay? So it's like this. Say you have, you know, a specific numismatic coin that gets exorbitantly rare, and say it's worth $10,000 on the market. Typically, the way we operate, if we found a deal with a coin like that, it's worth $10,000. That's say what most recent auction records are. Well, my mindset is, barring extenuating circumstances, my mindset is, whoever bought that in an auction 99% of the time, 99.8, is the highest buyer in the world at that time. So I rarely, if ever, I don't consider that the new bar for what we would ever charge for something. First of all, I never want my customers to be the highest buyer in the world. Secondly, there's fees involved in auctions. And so we typically will look at that stuff. We get what's called a median. Not an average, but a median. A median just means middle or settling point. It's basically the center line of what things are bringing. And then we deduct off fees that are customarily being absorbed by the seller in auctions or whatever. And then we'll deduct off a little bit more, and that's how we derive the price for our customers. We do that to help maintain liquidity. So a $10,000 coin, say, and that's a big number to use, I understand. I could say a $1,000 coin would be the same example. A $1,000 coin might wholesale, liquid wholesale, it might be something that we'd be selling, say, at eight, say something that's sold in an auction for, here I go again, because $1,000 coins are, there are coins out there, like, you know, 85 Carson City dollars and stuff, that in 65 or whatever, that they sell all day long for $1,000. It doesn't matter if he fees or not. So $1,000 is not the best example. We'll go back to $10,000. It's a little more exotic. $10,000 coin that sells an auction for that more recently, and say that's kind of a median sales point and it's reasonable. We'll deduct off what the fees are with the different auction companies. It may be 10, 15% typically. Some are far more. So say 15% knocks you down to $8,500 on a $10,000 coin. And then it might be liquid at $8,000. In other words, there's dealers that would, you know, all over that would buy it liquid cash at $8,000. That would make it, because then they could put it back out in an auction, let it go, eat the 10%, make some money, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's typical. So typically we'd sell a coin like that around $8,500, and it's probably liquid at $8,000. But the thing is, those coins go up and up and up and up and up. I've been watching stuff, folks. Some of the stuff that's going on quietly behind the scenes over the last X number of years is really, you know, the market is becoming very sensible and very wise. There's a ton of good material out there that is just not perfect. And the market wants good, problem-free original coins. There's always a shortage of that kind of stuff. We've got it. We seek it out. We hold on to it for our customers and our clientele for good quality material. And then we pass that on to you. That's our ultimate goal. We really do seek to try to do the right thing. It's our desire. It's our goal. We want to put the right stuff in your hands. We have no benefit. There is no motivation. No one gets paid based on any kind of commission or profit or any kind of desire to sell something undesirable. In fact, our system causes the bottleneck with the really, really good stuff, because you'll get multiple sellers in-house kind of arm wrestling over good material. And you get one guy who will try to grab a big batch of coins and keep them at his desk until he's got buyers, and it's just not fair to everybody else. But just to kind of give you an idea, the liquidity is there, and the internet has changed the market because of the fee structures. Nobody would have expected someday that the fees would go up, you know, and it's crazy that we pay like 10% or something on auctions, and you get companies like eBay that sell, you know, that literally make billions and billions of dollars a year just in fees, and they don't do anything. They provide a really bad platform, probably the slowest website I've ever dealt with, absolute bureaucratic mess. The thing is trashed half the time. The programmers don't know what's going on. They don't understand your industry. And now everybody's shipping your phone calls off to, like, the Philippines. I mean, even our local computer tech company that does our maintenance, I've called in recently a few times with stuff. They're shipping us to the Philippines, and the building is, like, 12 blocks below us. And we've been dealing with them for 15 years, and I'm talking to some guy in the Philippines, and I'm like, yeah, you know, the computer upstairs needs this and that, and the guy's like, okay, and then I'm like, okay, the last time nothing happened, the last two times, I'm like, what's going on? So I start asking questions. Well, they're super hesitant to tell you, but they're in the Philippines, and I'm like, you don't even know our business. I mean, it's money. It's really money. I mean, it is. I understand business is money, but if you're, you know, made in the USA minded guy, and, you know, who knows the logic behind it, and everyone's got a reason, and some justify themselves, you know, better than others, and I'm sure there's a reason, but as a customer, it's frustrating to be stuck trying to reinvent the wheel with somebody who's how many miles away? I don't even know. 8,000, 10,000 miles away in a totally different time zone, probably a totally different day, you know? And this is unfortunately where we've gone. This is where everything is going. I brought it all back to Trump. Trump has done a decent job of creating American exceptionalism, where people are proud of America. He's fighting for America. You know, I have seen some things he's done here recently that are just a little bit inflammatory. It's tough to figure the guy out sometimes. Like, I really need to do that, right? I need to be a presidential shrink from, you know, the other side of the United States. There you go. But he just, you know, the things with, like, he supposedly didn't know about the St. John's Church photo op where they had to move protesters out and use mace, right? Not good. And he's made other comments about various things, like using the military to come in to governor states that are unable, quote unquote, to control their own state. Okay, well, yeah, can't totally disagree. There's a problem there. But how bad should things be before we engage our own military forces on our own soil? It has to be, I think, his Secretary of State, Mark Espers. I could have positions wrong there. Could be DOD or it sounds like he's had a little bit of a disagreement with Trump over that. He came out and made a comment about it, but I don't know if he made it before or after Trump, and I don't know. You know, there's things we can have, as Hillary said, there's our private our public policy and our private policy. Well, she was using that when she got caught lying about who she was and what she believes. But there is a truth to what she said. It's not actually exactly the way she said it. When you work for the President of the United States of America, I mean, I hope you understand how profound that little title is. You owe him, you owe his position the greatest amount of dignity, honor, glory, respect, right? You don't come out against it, against him. And folks, we're seeing so much more of this stuff. And sure, he might be a little bit mad now and then and say things that aren't appropriate. And I mean, there's no question. But he is what he is. I believe wholeheartedly that he was chosen and placed there by God. His name means final overriding factor or resource. I don't think it's an accident that he's there. He's been groomed over the years. He's had it on his heart forever. It's like he knew he could do it somehow. He always knew it was in the cards. How is that? Why is that? You know, I mean, he's Donald Trump, Big T Trump. That's a big deal. You and I didn't have that little trickle of a dream planted in our hearts, you know. He's made for a certain day, made for times such as these, is what I would think. He's definitely the guy. So God made him the way he made him. He's got an extraordinary IQ. I was speaking with someone the other day. When the media started to say he's losing his mind, he's crazy. Of course, they've tried everything under the sun. So Trump says, oh, come in and view my meetings and how I conduct them and how I operate to try to show them his humanity. Well, they don't want to see that. They think the worst of the worst of the worst about the guy all the time. So that didn't do him a ton of good. It might have alleviated some concerns. And then they wanted a person out, a psychologist, to evaluate him. So they gave him, they had, you know, one of the probably the best doctors in the world who served the White House, gave him a full personality profile exam, and inside of that exam was an IQ test, okay? And when they gave it to Trump, it comes out later that they said, hey, there's a bunch of different tests. Which one would you like? They broke them down and explained the differences. And Trump said, I want the real one. I want the hardest, most challenging test there is, or battery of tests. And so he took the Stanford Bitten test, which is the most respected IQ test out there, my understanding is. And folks, he scored 171, depending on where you read, 171 to 176 on IQ. That is just, that's very high. That's through the roof. The percentage of people that fall into that parameter are very, very thin. And it creates a little bit of a, I've discussed the Dunning and Kruger effect, where in Dunning and Kruger's test or study, they proved that people of above average competence tend to assume those of low competence or incompetence are smarter than they are. So the real smart guys tend to think the people that aren't are, you know, I mean, I guess we'll use the term dumb people. That's not very nice. They call them like mentally incompetent or not incompetent. I don't even remember the term they use. It's something. Cognitive inability or whatever. They misperceive their cognitive inabilities is what it says, which means the not smart people think they're smart and the really smart people don't think they're that smart. And they think the really smart people don't think that they themselves are that smart. And they think that the not smart people are smarter than they are because the smart people can't comprehend not being smart within a degree. And the not smart people can't comprehend how much is going through the brain of someone who's intelligent. Okay. So there's a cooperative misinterpretation of abilities there that seems to work together in society for the good and safety of interacting. So we don't ever really know if we're really smart, that there's a lot of people that aren't really near that, et cetera. So Trump, the point of this is that could explain a lot of Trump's frustration with people. He's like, you know, this stuff's really simple, guys. Come on, you can do it. And, you know, it's interesting. There's so much more to an IQ than an IQ. In other words, it's not intelligence quotient. It is. But the bottom line is if you're not applying it, it's nothing. And then you end up back at the parable of talents. You could have guys that are just so brilliant. And God's like, are you kidding me? I gave you an absolute, you know, super penta chip in your brain. You're the smartest dude around, and you totally blew it. You wasted it, you know. And then he does the, I'm going to cast you out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and all that. That's interesting. It's profound and definitely always worth keeping on top of your mind. So anyway, the point is this. Trump's brilliant. He's a genius. But the irony of it is that, God knew he'd be president someday, right? No one gets lifted up or taken down without God's hand allowing it. And so that's his stance in life. God knows that. But here's the funny thing. He speaks like a third grader. So it's kind of like a curse almost, but not really. I would never call it that. But I mean, it limits his ability to speak. So he's super intelligent. And when he opens up his mouth, it's like a 1920s car horn, a gazooka. It just garbage comes out sometimes. And he can't really articulate well at all. I don't get it. So that's what I mean when I say he is what he is. God created us all the way he created us for a reason. You know, people argue, I'll say, well, we all have a destiny. Well, you know, people argue with that. I don't agree and it's free will and all that. Well, I'm as good at arguing the free will part as I am the destiny part. The destiny part is you are equipped. You are made with certain strengths and weaknesses and propensities towards things. That's just a fact of life. I mean, we're all made by the creator, the master sculptor, the master watchmaker, if you will. We are all made by him, designed by him. And you're like, no, we're made by nature. Well, okay, great. You know, how did that all work out? And how does the DNA work out? What is DNA? DNA is nothing more than an extensive code to tell your biology what to become and what to do. It's scary. The day may come where they could literally take a human fertilized egg and swap out the DNA and, you know, have a woman give birth to something else, I suppose. I hope not. But the DNA is the programming chip, and that's where God comes in, and that's where God stays, because God's God. So God made Trump the way he is, so we have to accept that. And there's so many things, you know, in the Bible, I think it's in Ecclesiastes where it says, beware what you say about anyone. And this, again, is from a king sitting up in his palace, and he says, because you never know when a little birdie might carry those words into the window of the king. Think about it. He's sitting there somewhere in his palace in Israel, in Jerusalem, listening to people trash talk him. And he says, if you hear it, you got to forgive it because the same thing could happen to you. But I mean, he's telling us, you never know who's listening. You never know what's going on. And I agree with them. That gets really tricky. When you get into people of extraordinary position, I've met people that are very guarded in what they say. I've met people that are super guarded to the point of annoyance. You don't even want to be around them because they literally won't talk about anything but the weather. Everything's so surface level. If you're aware, there's five levels of communication. If you want to bond with someone, you have to get into the third level. And a lot of people talk on the first level, a lot of professionals. It's very frustrating. They'll never have these really deep, meaningful relationships. Those kind of people are tough. Then you get into the guys who are so articulate, they can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Well, there's a fork in the road there. There's the type, like I was associated with in business for many years as a semi kind of partner thing, where he just talks and talks and talks until he just mesmerizes you, knocks you out and passes you out, and then he wins. That's one way. But that's also, you know, it wears you down. And then there's the articulator who can speak and speak and speak, sound eloquent and beautiful, say what they need to say without crossing lines and tipping over, you know, hypothetical vases, you know, not breaking through too hard. That's the art in one form or another that we'd like to have, you know, that's worth prayer. There's Proverbs talks about speech. The Bible talks about speech. You think about what James said, you know, when he talks about if you're able to bridle the tongue, he says, you can bridle the whole body also. And then he basically says, you can control the world. If you can control your tongue. Now, I don't get to I don't get to claim that one. Just saying, but someone, you may. I'm seeing, I think it's in James 1. Why not read some scripture? Never going to go wrong, right? Man, I just love this stuff. I just do. And let's do this. This is not at all where I want to go. But you know what? We'll look at it and apply it to what's going on in the world right now. There's a lot going on I want to talk about. James, okay. James, a bond servant. It says, bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. So the 12 tribes of Israel already broke down. What is a bond servant? I want you to think about that. We're in James 1. Didn't intend to go there, but here we is. I was going somewhere. I'll get there. Doulos. Bond servant means doulos. It means servant, you know, a man of servile condition, a slave, one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among man, devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests, okay? Why am I doing this? Think about it. When our country was founded, we had slavery. They were supposedly emancipated in the 1860s under Lincoln. There's a lot more to that, but so be it. We were slaves. Not we. There were slaves in chains, okay? Think about what he's saying. We don't have slaves. It's like back then, slaves were in chains. Now, slaves are in debt. They're no longer in chains, they're in debt. They're debtors. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that the borrower is the servant or slave of the lender. Our whole system is based on debt. Every penny that gets created is backed by debt. We don't even know what that means because the numbers and the system are incomprehensible. They're very counterintuitive. God gave us a solid understanding of the way he created things. Now we've got people so twisted up and confused, they're terrified of owning hard assets, rare coins, precious metals, certain kinds of real estate, you know, even nice cars or whatever. And I'll tell you, folks, you know, on the cars and all that, there's those who just will have 22 cars piled up out your outside as a big pile of junk and never get anywhere. But then there's those who are actually going to enjoy what they're doing and do a good job. God has not created money for us to not enjoy it. So we can't say like being tight and cheap and frugal is a part of being godly. Within reason, it's a sign of freedom. However, we don't want to be in debt. So that's your number one goal. You can save alongside your debt, which I, like I did, there was years, I had a massive amount of debt at one point, long after I had this business going and I built the building and everything. So instead of just dumping all my money on the debt, I stockpiled gold and silver and rare coins alongside of it. Why would you do that, Kevin? Well, number one, they go up. Number two, I was expecting them to go up a lot, and they did. Number three, they're liquid. If I put my money down on my mortgage, I can't ever get it back. It's neat to watch the balance go down, but what if I have a $5,000 or $10,000 medical emergency, which happened to me during that period of time? And then you can't liquidate. So if you're saving alongside of it, something that should ease in easily, and with these interest rates that exist now, precious metals-based assets, meaning numismatic, semi-numismatic, and bullion-based items, they'll go up the full, you know, yearly APR in a week. So in other words, saving alongside of your debt is very wise. And then as you get enough to pay off the debt, then you're pondering the big question. Because in the meantime, you're gaining interest at a rate that supersedes the debt. Debt is not a good thing. Now, the reason I just said what I said, because it's a two-edged sword there, there's a good strategy there. If you're like, I want to be debt-free, and of course, mortgages are always everybody's, you know, thing, that all came about with the Federal Reserve Act. There was no debt before that. It was cash, cash, cash. It just didn't exist. And to borrow money, usually you're borrowing from loan sharks. Huge fee structures. They had all the rights. It was really a brutal place to be, really. But now we're sitting in a position where, you know, you've got consumer rights and all that. But the point that I was saying is you can, when you save along the side, you've got that immediate liquidity. You have the asset to cover the debt. So you're doing that saving. You're putting that money aside. You're accomplishing the same task. And, you know, you can go as far as to say, well, when you're paying interest on your mortgage, it's tax deductible, and so is the insurance, and so is the taxes and all that, which is true too. That, you know, so if it's paid off, You also have, so once it's paid off, you lose that ability to get those deductions, which it's always more to pay the payment and the interest than what you write off, but it helps to get that. Trust me, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing in a way. So when you're, you know, when you're doing that, the other thing too is, like I said, liquidity is everything. You need money, you got it now. And then on top of all that, when your house is free and clear, I recommend getting a line of credit against your house up to the maximum amount allowed by the bank. You're like, well, Kevin, that doesn't make no sense. You just said pay off the house. Now you're saying go get debt on it. A line of credit, a revolving line of credit, does not mean you have to use it. It's just there. If you need cash money at any time, it's there. So you need that for two reasons. One, again, if you saved up all your metals and you got above and beyond the balance of your mortgage, say, or whatever it is you're paying off, especially a mortgage, and you pay that off, and now you have no assets per se, at least no precious metals. Now you got your asset, you've transferred that asset value net worth onto your home. When it's free and clear, folks, people can also attach it. And whoever attaches it first is first mortgage. What am I talking about? Somebody could sue you for anything at any time. And I know people are like, oh, no one would sue me. I never do anything wrong. I'm not out in the world causing problems or chaos, and my house isn't that nice anyway. And I don't try to look rich or what. Doesn't matter. Things happen. I spent years and years in this money biz on every angle. I've seen it all. I hope most of it. It happens. So you just want to protect yourself that way too. That line of credit puts a first position on the home. Say your house is worth $250,000 and you pay it off. Before COVID, you could get a 75% loan to value home equity line of credit, which, you know, would be about, what, 200 and something, 12,500 or something, or a little right in that line, which isn't, I'm not exactly right. But say your house is worth 250,000, so 75% of that would be 187,500, roughly. So you have a line of credit available there. You get my point. I hope you get my point. You're still protecting the first position. Because otherwise, someone could come in, slap a $1,000 lien on your house. They could repossess your house for $1,000. Say it's a $10,000 debt from a medical bill you completely disagree with. You're contesting. They can seize your house for $10,000. So the line of credit prevents that because it puts them in the second position. It also gives you the ability to pull money out when you need it. So just something to consider. Being debt-free, very important. Watching your interest rates, very important. On your cards, credit cards, if you're, you know, carrying a debt and a balance, I know everybody's like, oh, no, I don't. But yeah, you do, because you're an American, and we shouldn't, but we do. And it's very expensive to live and get by, and it's not easy. If you're carrying a balance, you need to know your rate, okay? And just because you're getting Sky Miles doesn't mean you're getting a good deal. You got to look at what the value of the Sky Miles really is. Not what they say it is, but what it really is. And then you got to look at your fees, and you got to look at your average balance throughout the year. So say that you run everything through a credit card so you can get Sky Miles, hypothetically. And so say you're running $2,000 a month or something through a credit card. Just say $20,000 a year. It's a nice round number. I like round numbers. So you're running $20,000 a year through your credit card. But you're paying $150 a year in a credit card fee. You know, so you count that. As you know, that's 0.75%. Doesn't sound like much, but now with rates so low, that's an automatic 0.75%. It's actually a lot more because they realize it up front. Boom. They don't amortize it. so they get that money quick and fast. And I won't get into relative yields and all that, but it does accelerate their income up front. So you got to calculate all those things in. What are you benefiting from? What are you getting out of it? How much is it costing you or whatever? You want to look at all that stuff. You just want to make sure your interest rates are good. Very good. And if they're not, shop around. Get it taken care of. If you're carrying a balance and you can't get out, work, you know, set a strategy. But get your interest rates down. If you're trying to get out of debt, I mean, there's people that just freak out about this stuff. They can't look at it. They can't comprehend it. It trips them out. Maybe you were raised that way. I don't know. Maybe you're broke. You think you're always going to be broke. You always were broke. Your parents were always broke, and that's the way you think. There's also what they call a poverty mindset. You are potentially, hypothetically cursing yourself with this thought process. I'm not a name it and claim it. You know, God owes me nothing. But I am a strong believer that we are created by our Father in heaven, who is the ultimate creator beyond our comprehension. There's not even words to go there. He is magnificent. Our mental capacity is magnificent. If you don't believe in the power of positive thinking, do you believe in the power of negative thinking? If you sit around and tell yourself, you can't do so, I can't do that, I can't do that, I'm no good. What happens if you think that way? Well, you start to do bad and you fail and you feel like crap about yourself, right? Well, I've heard people say, well, that power of positive thinking stuff, I'm not into that. You will never meet somebody who's really living to their full potential who talks that way. I've seen it. And they become, you know, a lot of times it's accompanied with people with some sharpness and frustration, maybe some judgmentalism. How's that for intonation? Judgmentalism. How about judgmentalism? But, you know, if, you know, I don't believe in the power of positive, so they'll say, but they live negative. And the negative speech will destroy you. So you have to believe in positive. It's just like people say, I don't believe in God. Well, do you believe in evil? Well, yeah. So you believe there's a dark side, there's a bad side, but there's not a good side? Oh, no, there's a good side. I just don't believe in God. It's like, you know, the logic doesn't fit. It just, sometimes we baffle ourselves with the way we think. But I'm just saying, you want something, speak it. And I'm not saying, I hope you're not getting the impression that I'm doing the name it, claim it thing. But I mean, you convince yourself, when you set yourself up to succeed and you believe in something and you focus on it hard enough, it happens, you know? I mean, within reason. But you also look at people like Trump. He entertained being president for so long, it became second nature. The seed was very likely planted by God early on. But then he cultivated that seed. What's the purpose of, again, the parable of talent scripture? We are all planted with a destiny. Now, I don't mean that your destiny is like you're a robot and you start at point A and you go through B, C, D, E, all the way to Z in your life. No, no, no. I'm saying that God designed you for a specific purpose, a pattern. And if you find that or seek that, you'll do very well at it. However, I don't know why I'm getting into this so much. You cannot look for an activity or a job or a person to guarantee your happiness. I've seen people try this and try that. And, oh, man, I've heard them talk to me and go, oh, you're so lucky. You get to do your hobby as your business. And, well, anybody who's done their hobby as their business will tell you it definitely changes. I love coins. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't matter if I was here or not. I'd still be immersed in coins all the time because I love them. And it is fortunate that God gave me that blessing to work within the industry that I love. That's an absolute blessing. But I always had passion and drive at whatever I did, and God sees and honors that. So we need to be that way in everything we do. We got to be lights on a hill, the salt of the earth everywhere we go. Great people. We got to learn how to communicate. We can't be rockheads and bricks. There's folks out there that are terrified of wisdom. They're terrified to ask. There's people with divisive spirits. Running a business and managing people for decades, it's really hard to find people that are truly team-oriented. They'll say they are, and they'll be, you know, maybe they worked in a team and here or there or whatever. But you know, team is when you have somebody telling you what to do all the time and all that, and you have a slot to fill, that's one thing. But that's not necessarily the same kind of teamwork. The teamwork I'm talking about in corporate America, you're looking out for the other guy all the time. In our business, we sort and organize and store things, and we're always thinking of the next guy. I mean, we're labeling and tagging things, and I'm always thinking of that next guy. I'm not thinking of myself. I get employees that they'll stash stuff all over the place. It's like, where is it? What's over here? Why didn't you mark it? Because I knew where it was. Well, you're not going to be around forever. You could die tomorrow. And you're not always going to be here when someone looks. And we can't have a divisive spirit. I don't care who it's with. Our spouses, our employers, employees, whatever. We want to always be looking out for one another, thinking of the other guy. You know, I don't know about you, but I spend a ton of time looking around for things. Where'd that go? Where's my iPhone charger? Who moved my iPhone charger? Where's my shoes? Where's, you know, because people might move it or something might come up or, you know, unfortunately I got puppies. They move stuff too. But I mean, in a lot of cases, it's like you spend all this time. If we move something in our shop that doesn't belong to us or we should be considering others, we can create this frenzy. I've seen situations where people will do things with something and you'll literally get a group of people that'll spend an hour. You know, three guys will spend an hour trying to find something that took someone 20 seconds to move it where it didn't belong or to not look out for each other. And so that's what I'm talking about with that power of positive speech. You're always trying to be harmonious and courteous and not looking out for yourself. And, you know, there's so many tests that come our way that show our character. You know, stepping over dollars to save dimes and, you know, God will do all kinds of things to show our greediness and our self-centeredness. And I mean, it's really crazy to see that mentality. There's over the years, like I said, as an employer, there's those people, the extreme cases, the people that they just don't work out here in the long haul, the people that think they're a life support system for a paycheck. And they basically come in with an attitude. I call it like a government mindset. Because they have this attitude that they can do whatever they want and they're doing you a favor and all that stuff. That's never, ever, ever produced anything good, you know. Our people are the face of our company. And the most important thing is that we all buy in together, that we believe in what we do, that we love what we do, our passion exudes, and we're continuously growing and we're enthusiastic and we want to learn with the people and with our fellow workers, and we're not afraid to say, I don't know, and we're not afraid to take the time to find out when we don't. And this business is knowledge. I mean, knowledge is power in this business, and it never ends. I've been doing it 25 years, folks, and I'm telling you, I literally probably have the equivalent of five PhDs in this business. And you might think, well, how hard can gold and silver be? It's not gold and silver. It's rare coins and all kinds of, you know, there's markets. I mean, gold coins alone now, I mean, there's 100,000 or more different types, literally. Stuff you've never heard of, and you got to learn how to read Arabic, and I mean, it just goes crazy. I'll leave it at that. Power, positive thinking. Let's do James real quick here. We talked about being a bondservant. Our slaves are no longer in chains. They're in debt. And greed kills. I mean, greed killed. Being a tightwad, frugal guy is not any better. In fact, it's probably more disgusting to God because it's that tight fist, me, mine, you know. It's like that's totally fleshly. It's interesting. The Holy Spirit can cure us of that too. So James says he's a bondservant, and he's talking about the missing 12 tribes. Consider it, I love this, all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What he knows. He didn't say if, but when. We all do. You got to thank God for it. Now, there's a different kind of joy. It's like having a coach pushing you. It's like, man, I appreciate you doing this for me, but man, it hurts. But he's like, count it joy, because you're going to come out the other end a lot better. But even, you know, who does God use to work on us? Those around us. Unfortunately, it's our spouse and our kids and our friends and our coworkers and our bosses and our, you know, employees and all that stuff. And, you know, we all know a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And it's hard sometimes when you're dealing with people that have obviously, of like we mentioned, a really low IQ, and they don't always comprehend things and they assume they do. But we never want to do that. We always assume we can ask something we absolutely know the answer to just to verify it. You know, they say a good attorney never asks a question he doesn't know the answer to. He's confirming what he already knows. He's building his case. He's building his foundation. That's how we need to live our lives too. So then he goes on and he says, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance, okay, that's good, and the endurance have, and let have endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's pretty wild. That is a word. That's a pretty crazy word. That you may be perfect. He says, let it have its perfect result, which is teleos, that you may be perfect, teleos, and complete. Brought to its end, finished. The word actually means finalized, completed. Wanting nothing necessary to complete. In other words, it's fulfilled, it's full, it's done. You've become who God wants you to become. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It says consummate human integrity and virtue. This is the Greek definition. So full grown, of full age, mature. That's what he means by perfect. He means you become mature in Christ. And that doesn't mean mature like physically. It's emotionally and spiritually. You become a good person. A mature person is warm and confident and comfortable around people. They ask questions. They stand open when they talk to you. They don't stand at the side and stick their chest out or turn their back to you. Or, you know, you're comfortable. You're vulnerable. You know you're comfortable in who you are with Christ. There's a confidence that exudes when Christ indwells you, and you, when you allow Christ, when you're vulnerable to Christ and His Spirit, you become vulnerable to man. God's refined you. God's looked at you. You don't have anything to hide or be ashamed of. You're comfortable with who you are. You lose defensiveness. You become warm. You start to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Think about it. Love is patient, kind. Da 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 da. Love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness. The Bible says kindness is what the world loves to see in a man, basically, is a bad translation. But it's like that's the most important thing. Kindness is a valuable asset. Kindness doesn't mean, you know, elevating yourself, saying, oh, I did a good deed today. Kindness is just really always being empathetic towards another person and not putting ourselves first. So he says, and then he goes on to the wisdom thing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. All you got to do is ask. It says, but you have to ask in faith without any doubting. Well, that makes sense. You just throw it out there. It doesn't have any meaning to you. I mean, that makes sense. You got to believe God can do it. Then you got to believe he will. He says he will. You might think, well, maybe he won't. Well, maybe he won't, but he probably will. I can tell you with wisdom doesn't come like you think. With wisdom, sorrow can come. You get a deep in-depth. God will give you all the wisdom you need because it can make you way more powerful and valuable for him. You have to ask with faith. Ask in faith without any doubting. How about that? For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from God. So if you're not living in faith, you're driven all over the place by the wind. You're of no value to God because he can't predict where you're going to go. If you are a reactor, that's really what I was talking about earlier. You can't be a reactor and please God. You have to be proactive in a positive way to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. And he says, for that man ought not to expect he'll receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. People who react out of anger and hostility. I'm not talking about self-defense if someone breaks in your house, but I'm talking about just having that anger streak. God won't do anything for you. He won't give you any wisdom. You see people with anger problems, they're fools. You can't, I mean, for the most part, you know, but when someone really is feeding that anger and they're not getting better, they're fools. And then they get insecure and on it goes. You want wisdom, you have to be willing to yield and let God have his way, which is really what you're asking him to do when you ask for wisdom. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. The rich man, that's the spirit of riches. It's not about your net worth, it's about your spirit. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Think about it. He's telling us there's more waiting us. You're not just, you know, we're not just here to get saved and we're all equal. We're all different, even in heaven. We're all uniquely made all the way through eternity. And God, if you persevere under trial, which means you keep growing and you keep getting stronger and you keep taking wisdom and you keep seeking it, you get a crown of life. Don't know what all that means, but it's cool. He promises those to those who truly love him. And what does Christ say? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not a self-righteous thing. It's a heart thing. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted but evil, and he by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. So who's the tempter? The devil, right? Each one is tempted when, it says, he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. So the devil can't even get to you until you're willing to feed the flesh. You can carry yourself away. We don't need the devil to destroy ourselves. When lust is conceived, this is what's going on right now with this Antifa stuff. There's something they want. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. We're in James still. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. He brought us forth as believers to stand out, to be his glorious creation that could honor and exalt him and appreciate everything he made at the same time. We actually get to imbibe. The angels don't. They glorify God, but they don't get to imbibe in his wonderful creation, folks. We're so blessed. And it's tough because we have free will, and that's what it's all about. And we've got a long eternity ahead of us. So then it goes on. I'll just leave it at this. He says, which is awesome, he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be what? Quick to hear. You don't, you know, ignore people. You don't interrupt people and talk to someone else while someone's talking to you, or, you know, or try to block it out because you know, whatever. You want to be quick to hear. You want to know. You want to be wise. Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak. Think about what you're going to say, and slow to anger. It's interesting how anger pops up there. Hotheads, you know what? I mean, you cannot gain wisdom or knowledge or intelligence with a hothead. The anger, it says, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Our anger, there's passionate anger. But you know what? If you have a problem with anger, you have to give it all up. Just like a drug addict, you can't have a little bit. Or a little bit of cancer. You got to give it all up. Anger is created. It's emotion given us by God to develop to motivation. But motivation for good. I'll just say that. I'll leave it at that. So, with the short amount of time we got left, what all be going on? We have very little time to cover it. We have these COVID protests. Things are crazy, are they not? But as you heard me say earlier, I don't really believe Trump needs to be bringing the police out. I think that's a bit extreme. It's getting a little bit scary. But as I said, our debt, modern slaves are not in chains. They are in debt. I'll just do a couple quotes. Muhammad Ali said one time, I don't trust anyone. This is kind of what we're talking about. I don't trust anyone who's nice to me, but rude to the waiter, because they would treat me the same way if I were in that position. It's the same with, I don't want anybody in my life. I don't want someone working here who's mean to their wife or mean to their kids or mean to the customer, but nice to me, or vice versa. That says a lot about us. Just an interesting saying. There's one here that says, in life, it's important to know when to stop arguing with people and simply let them be wrong. That's the fool that's not taking a lot of pleasure. Don't trust everything you see. Even salt looks like sugar. And isn't that the truth right now? A ship is always safe at shore, but that is not what it's built for, right? We're made to go out on the ocean. Here's one last one from, I don't know who. A saint was asked, what is anger? He gave a beautiful answer, saying, it is a punishment we give to ourselves for somebody else's mistakes. That's, again, a good point. I think it all ties together with what we've been talking about today. Sorry I didn't get more to the Antifa thing. I was going to cover all that. There's a lot going on out there. You're aware of it. Stay strong. Stay wise. Get your finances secured and hard assets. And, give us a call, 509-444-0044. Give us 5-star reviews on three different places. Call and get 2 nice silver dollars. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.